to young girls because we are very hard on ourselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The fact that we just walk around with computers in our pockets. Uh-huh.
I just know that I would go to war for my kid because, I mean, I would go to war for my dog. Like,
right? I know.
Welcome to another episode of Message from Mom, where we're breaking down the myths that mothers-in-law aren't necessarily monsters-in-law. And I'm joined by my lovely co-host, who happen to be my daughters-in-law. And to the left of me is Kelly.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm married to Beth's oldest.
And to the right of me is Chelsea.
Hi, I'm Chelsea. I am married to Beth's middle son, Andrew.
And today we are going to be talking, actually, I think this is kind of a hot topic. Mm. And maybe, and Chelsea, you even said a dark topic. I think it can be.
It truly
can be. But we're going to be talking about kids and social media. I think that's it really is very interesting topic to discuss. But before we get into that, let's have a toast because we know that you don't have to be a blood relative to love your relative. So cheers, ladies.
Cheers. Cheers.
And I'll get that sip in because
No bad luck here.
I know. I confess so our last set I would toast and I put my glass down, which is very bad luck. And I'm like, when I was viewing the video, I'm like, oh my gosh. So anyway, so I'm making sure that I take a sip of our Prosecco before we get going. But I actually love this topic today. It's kids and social media because one's very near and dear to my heart because children, as a mother, as someone that's out there in social media, I think it's very, very important to cover this topic because we've been in uncharted waters since 2008. And I think that's when the smartphone basically just dropped from the sky and into all of our hands.
Yeah, 2007, I think.
Was it 2007?
First iPhone. Mm-hmm.
We were just coming back from living overseas. And while the boys always had phones, they were flip phones. And there were no apps on them. It was simply, and I was actually very thankful we had them, especially living overseas, because then we could be in constant communication with them. But I'm just going to open it up because children are very near and dear to my heart, and I think we always need to be thinking how we can protect them. And now we do have a little bit of data behind us as far as what is influencing our children, and it's honestly, it's not very good. It's not very pretty out there, especially with young women. And I think one of the things I was really thinking about this last night as I was prepping for today's shoot, I was really just thinking how when I was growing up and also when you were growing up, I only looked at myself in the mirror a couple of times a day. Mm-hmm. I mean, I only checked my appearance, as I said, I didn't really like think about it. I on a day-to-day basis, I did not think about how I looked or is my hair in place or how do other people look? It was just a very, I guess, a more innocent time. And now I'm very conscious because I am in the social media world. And I'm also very conscious of how often I have my phone documenting, not necessarily my life, because I have very specific feelings about that, but I have to document work. I mean, I have to take photos for work. It is part of my day-to-day job. Mm-hmm. But there again, I'm thinking about that because when you're looking at yourself nonstop in your phone, what does that do to your psyche?
Yeah.
Well,
especially as a young woman.
Comparing to other people and, you know, looking at yourself, looking at other people's social media.
Mm-hmm.
I think we kind of briefly talked about this before, but I grew up, so I'm a millennial, and I would say that millennials are the last generation or maybe the only generation that grew up in a period where we didn't have, like you said, social media.
Mm-hmm.
And Facebook came out, I think, in 2007. Mm-hmm. So I graduated high school in 2007.
But you didn't have it on your phone yet. It wasn't an app on a phone yet.
It wasn't on my phone yet. Right, nope. It was on the computer.
It's on the computer.
And then, you know, had Facebook all through college. But like you said, it wasn't on the phone. Mm-hmm. I think you were still uploading pictures via your digital camera that you were using to take pictures when you were out.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very different. than necessarily it is today.
Yeah.
But then it's like, we've got Instagram and TikTok now and all of these different apps that,
it's so saturated and it's just so, and I also, I wanted to discuss too, because as a social media persona, I rarely share glimpses of my life, my behind the scenes life. And I know, not that I don't, but I really try to be very thoughtful about living life in the moment and not documenting my life. And I think that's also something that has happened in the last 10 years is that every, and we briefly touched on this, Chelsea, on another message from mom where, like over on TikTok, and so people are pregnant. So then they're documenting, they're sharing every single step of the way with
the weddings,
the wedding.
Or the weddings. That's what it was. That's what it was. And so how does that affect your real experience with your wedding when you're so gung ho to document every single piece? And so that's one of the things that I just bring it home to myself, and I'm much more interested in living my life, not documenting my life. And I think that that's also something now that young families and young children are faced with.
Yeah.
You know? So they always have their phone, and they're always
Always have their phone. They're always phones. I mean, because we just touched about this briefly on, like you said, another episode where. I used to teach dance and I taught high schoolers. I taught basically all ages from 2 all the way to adult. But every break, it's like, let me check my phone. Let me check Snapchat.
Yes.
Snapchat is huge now.
Yes.
And
oh, is it again? It kind of
slowed down. It was like big and then but now it's, at least to my knowledge, a couple years ago, it was still big. Okay. I think it's still a thing. But it's like every 5 seconds, well, let me check my phone. Like, let's take a picture. Let's do a TikTok dance. Let's do this. And I just think back to when I was dancing when I grew up in high school, and we didn't do any of that. And I'm kind of grateful that we didn't do that because, like you said, we lived in the moment and we would have sleepovers and we would take pictures with disposable cameras. And then you didn't know what you looked like until you got them developed.
No instant gratification.
No instant gratification.
Yeah,
I know.
I don't have any children. So I think the things like my opinions that I share about kids and social media and kids and phones and things are wholly just my own opinion, aren't based in experience because I don't have kids. But I do have to say completely honestly that if I didn't have a job that required me to be involved with social media, I would not have any interaction with social media.
I agree with that.
I do not, it's not a go-to thing. And this is probably a generational thing too, right? Because, you know, like you, I don't think I really cared about what I looked like until I was, you know, hitting puberty and, you know, 12, 13 years old, things like that. But I didn't get like social media until way, way after it had been a thing for a while. Like, I don't think I even had an account. I might've signed up for an account, but didn't ever log into it or look at it for years. Like, I think maybe it was like 2010 or 12, maybe even 13 where I actually like logged into a Facebook or something.
Right.
Yeah.
And I still don't even really use it all that much, but so there's a really big difference there. And coming to work at Sokka, Style at a Certain Age I've had to actually kind of learn about social media now at this point because I didn't have really any interaction with it. And so my opinions about kids and social media are really kind of stemmed probably just in my own experience with it, in that I never was a big fan of it. I don't really like it that much. And I think it's terrible for children.
I think it's very, very hard on their self-esteem. And that's one of the things that I think about a lot. So I'm 65. I am formed. My psyche is formed. It's not that I can't change, not that I don't learn new things, but I have a really good self-worth and value. However, being out in social media, I am telling you, there are days when I can just be cut to the quick
Yeah.
With mm-hmm. a comment from another woman
yeah.
who zeroes in on my, you know, what my face looks like, or I look older, I look, you know, fatter, I mean, put an X, Y, and Z where I'm being judged.
Yeah. And it's always something that they would never say to your face.
I know.
They would never say that to your face.
Right? You know, what's shocking to me, just in the last maybe 3 or 4 years, how body positive has become such a big thing in mm-hmm. our culture. And now you're seeing, you know, shopping websites that have different size women mm-hmm. modeling the clothes, all of this, like, kind of revolutionary change in how we talk mm-hmm. about, look at, and think about fashion.
Yeah.
And yet there is still this ginormous mm-hmm. number of terrible right? comments.
And it's not men against women. This is women, against women,
which is really sad.
And so I will just go back to, so I'm 65 and I can still, as I said, just be cut down. So I can only imagine if I were 12 or 13 or
10. Oh, I can't even imagine.
Because at least, like, when I was growing up, if you had a bad day at school, mm-hmm. if you had, you know, some confrontation that didn't go well with, you know, with another girl, or, you know, I mean, fill in the blank, I could go home and lick my wounds, or, you know, or if I weren't invited to the party, I could go home and regroup over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But these children, they don't have any, it's 24/7. Yeah. They know what everybody else is doing.
Which is such
all
a
time. And even, yeah. They never have a break to regroup or lick their wounds, or, you know, go home and have their moms, you know, give them a pep talk, and, you know, you have a chocolate chip cookie and a glass of milk. There's just no downtime for these children. I think that's what's very, very worrisome to me.
Yeah. Well, even at the age of, you know, I'm almost 35, and there are certain accounts on my personal Instagram that I, with real estate, that I just had to mute mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. you get into the comparison game of, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, oh, well, this person's doing so much business. They're doing so much on their social media. I'm not doing that. But then, you know, the funny thing is then you find out at the end of the day, it's like, well, they're actually not doing that. They're just posting a lot to
right.
make it look like they're doing
right.
that,
right.
which yes. good for them. I mean, I think that's great. And yes. I don't fault them. I don't fault anyone for getting out there on social media. Mm. But it's like, for my mental health, I'm like, let me just mute these accounts, because then I get in my head about they're doing so much more than I'm doing mm-hmm. and I need to be doing that. And it's like, that's not feasible for me, because maybe I'm doing other things that I love to do, you know, and I'm just can't post
exactly
50 stories a day on Instagram.
Exactly.
Or maybe I just don't want to.
Right.
You know, like, I don't want to post my entire day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's me. It's just like, I produce so much content for my readers and viewers, or whatever channel it is. I produce so much valuable content that at the end of the day, I don't want to share what I'm doing in my real life.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm already providing that value. So why do I need to go, you know, down that route? And as I said, I think it's just so important to live your life rather than document your life. But what do you think about age restrictions for social media? Because I've thought about this too, because we have to be 16 to get a driver's license. We have to be 18 to vote. We have to be 21 to drink. Mm-hmm. So why not put age restrictions on social media on smartphones? Or
a part of me also wonders, I'm like, would that make it worse? Or because, I mean, think about, you have to be 21 to drink.
Mm-hmm.
We all know
right.
that there's high schoolers out there drinking right. and they find ways.
You do. You always will. But at least it's a buffer.
Yeah.
And I do think that it would help parents, because my hat is off to anyone raising young children in today's age, because there's so much pressure. Well, because all the other children have an iPad. All the other children have a smartphone. And
I think one
that doesn't is very hard. But if you had some sort of parameters, just like, okay, you can't drive until you're 16. Sorry. So parents are like, that's out of my hands. That's what is mm-hmm. a requirement.
Yeah.
So it's just something that's crossed my mind. Mm-hmm. On occasion, is maybe if we did have those age restrictions. And of course, I mean, we're always going to find ways around it. And yes, you know, at 18 or whatever the drinking age is, you can get a fake ID. I mean, there's all sorts of ways around the situation. But I just was thinking that might just help parents a little bit to safeguard their children, because I don't think that, and there again, smartphones have only been around since like 2008. So we don't, it's like been close to 15 years or maybe a little bit more. And now we're finally getting the data in. We didn't know at the time. We all thought it was like, wow, we have this amazing, I think I read that today's smartphone has more power in it than any of the computers when we sent the man to the moon.
Oh yeah, that's 100%.
Is that not crazy? What is?
I mean, I believe it.
Yes, what is in our hand on a day to day basis,
and there, the fact that we just walk around with computers in our pockets is kind of a crazy thing to imagine.
Getting radiation off to us.
I know, right? Yeah.
But like, I was in my high school. I went to a small high school in a small town, and gosh, when we got a computer lab that had like 8 computers in it, that was a very big deal. Mm-hmm. And I think I was a senior in high school when that happened. Mm-hmm. This is 1994. And that was like, we had a Mac, and I didn't have a computer of my own, but some friends of mine did. They had that original
Macintosh.
It was my mom had or whatever. And
we actually had that when I was growing up.
Had
it was maybe like 10 or 11.
The only thing we ever did on it, aside from writing homework paper, I actually still wrote my papers on a typewriter. My mom typed them for me because I was a terrible in typing. I didn't take typing class.
Okay.
I took art class instead. But you know, all we ever did was play a total rudimentary King's Quest, you know, video game.
Right.
And so to go from that to where we are now in that period,
well, it started
is so
kind of
crazy.
It started definitely. It was like we had AOL in my time when I was growing up, and then we had MySpace.
Yeah.
And it was the top 8. I don't know if you guys remember that.
I didn't have a MySpace.
But the top 8 was kind of the MySpace top 8 was like the start of the like.
Do we have a producer close by? Sorry, Chelsea. I just wanted him to check a fact. Because I was just wondering when the first text message was sent.
Oh,
you're talking about email, which is actually very revolutionary. Well, but I'm just wondering.
I mean, we could text on our flip phones.
Yeah, you could text
as soon as cell phones became widely popular.
Because it was like you had to text like the 3 letters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I remember the MySpace, it was like the top 8. And then it was like, if you got discluded from someone's top 8, it was like, oh my God, what did I do? And
so
you show up.
MySpace was really the first social media.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the first. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even, it doesn't even exist anymore.
Right. I know.
But then it became Facebook from there, and then Instagram and all of that.
Christian, can you double check when the first text message was sent? I mean, I do remember email, and I was living overseas at the time, so it was such an easy way for me to stay in touch with my mom. I mean, I loved it. I was like, this is great. But an email is so much different than, and even a text is so much different than
social media.
But one of the things, too, is with the advent, and Snapchat came along with this, with the different filters. That was like the big groundbreaking thing. That was what set them apart from every other app out there, is they had these filters that you could put on your face. So it was, you know, cute, like bunny ears. I mean, it was like, you know, kind of cute at the very beginning.
Oh, so filtered. All of
that. But now, people don't even know what a real person looks like. And how that can be dangerous. Okay, so the first text was sent on December 3rd, 1992. Thanks, Christian. 1992. So I guess about the same time as, gosh, is that even before emails?
I think people were.
Well, I guess, okay, you've got mail. That was in 1996. That was the, okay.
I want to say like the year I graduated high school was like the internet was like the World Wide Web was. So it was like 93, 94 was like World Wide Web. What the heck is this thing?
So text
does that include like
email?
Pagers? Is that a page?
Well, I think we still had pagers. So Merry Christmas was the first text message.
Oh, interesting.
Thank you, Christian. So, but back to like the filters, because I think this is where now it's getting a little bit dangerous, and especially like with our young girls, our young women, because why do they think that it's important now to always have their face in a filter mode when they're when they're out there?
So they look perfect.
I know.
Well, and then they're like, oh,
that's
well,
very dangerous.
My skin looks perfect,
very dangerous.
I feel like, everyone has issues or struggles probably with acne growing up. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I still struggle with it. I'm 30, almost 35 years old.
Bad hair days, a bad haircut.
Hair day.
I've had bad haircuts where I would love to not be seen for weeks and
weeks.
Well, but
getting bangs, my God, I've gotten bangs a few times. My hairdresser is now like,
is that always a bad idea?
Yeah, I told her, I said, we're no longer allowed to cut bangs.
Even if I come to you and beg you
about
for bangs.
3 days after I get the bangs, I immediately regret it. And then you have to grow it out and it's a problem. So, yeah.
But I do
agree that there should be age limits on social media, if nothing else than to just help parents deal and navigate with that. Because I think parents also have not only the struggle of like kids wanting to be on social media and to have phones and things like that, but I mean, I think that's just the beginning of the biggest issues that parents have to deal with kids and social media and smartphones in general.
They have to give the phone to, you know, the kid sometimes when they're younger than maybe they would want to, because they have an activity or they're doing this. And it's like,
this is where a flip phone comes back into fashion for me. I'm sorry, but like, the kids, I also just feel this way because talking about this computing power that you have in your pocket, it is an expensive device.
That's true.
These are not cheap. And I'm going to give, I personally would not,
just to give,
nor do I have the income to like give, you know, children such an expensive piece of equipment to just go around with. Like, I'm sorry, flip phones. That makes sense to me. You can call on it. You can text on it.
Exactly.
It's there for you when you
like
need
a safety precaution.
Exactly.
Exactly. But then you don't have all of the other distractions from Instagram or TikTok or, I mean, how many apps do we have now? Social media apps. I mean, there's quite a few, but
it's because it's not even just the social media, but it's the games and it's the buying things. We always see these kind of stories of, you know, kid accidentally buys, you know, $5,000 worth of Chick-fil-A or something, like who knows what.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on DoorDash or whatever. But
well, I think too, like, so kind of going back to this, but growing up, I always did an activity. Like my mom never did not have me in an activity. And I remember when I was 10, I broke my arm really badly and I broke it in gymnastics. And I remember I wanted to go back to gymnastics so badly, but I just, my orthopedic was like, there's just no way. Like, she's just, I'm not built as a gymnast. Even my coaches were like, does she want to do rhythmic gymnastics? And I remember looking at my mom going, no, like what? And I actually might've been pretty good at that. But so after I broke my arm, I started dance because my mom was basically like, well, you're not going to sit at home and do nothing. Yeah. But I do find, and I don't know like if this kind of plays into the social media, because I know when I was maybe a freshman in high school, I was friends with these two girls. We were really good friends and we would always hang out. And when we got to our freshman year, we kind of went our separate ways. And the two of them started hanging out with like a different crowd. And then I kind of got pushed to the side. And I vividly remember this happening. And they would go and they would smoke pot. And they would do all of these like bad things, but they also did not have an activity outside of school. So I was always busy. So like, I didn't have time to go and hang out with them and to do what they were doing because I was always in a dance class. My mom was always picking me up and she's like, all right, it's time to go to dance, you know? And then basically I'd get done with dance at 9 p.m. at night. I'd have to go home. I'd do my homework. I would go to bed and I would wake up and I'd do the next thing. But I think too, sometimes with the social media, a lot of kids that get very involved in it, they don't have that extracurricular activity.
And that's a great point, because this is what we're now starting to see, is that instead of having real life interactions, going off to dance or going off to cheer or going off to baseball or whatever activity it is, they're not doing it. The kids are isolating themselves. And I also heard a very startling statistic that the average teenager, and I don't even know how this is possible, but this is a statistic, but they have less than one real friend.
That's because,
because so many, I'm sure there are many out there that have 10 good friends, but there are some that have zero friends. So when you balance that all out, and how isolated you are. And you all know how I feel about community, and we need each other, and how you have to be living your life, not documenting. That was a very shocking statistic. Yes. Well, and how lonely that must be. And even lonelier, because then you're on your phone.
Yeah.
As you were saying, looking
at what they're doing.
That's right. Looking at what other people are doing and comparing yourself. Yeah. And why am I not at this party? And why am I?
Well, I mean, I still even do that to this day. Like, I remember there was maybe a month ago, because I just recently switched brokers for real estate, and a few of the girls that I used to be on the same team with, they all joined a brokerage and I joined a different one. Mm-hmm. And I always tend to do that. I'm like, I'm kind of beat to the, you know, my own drum. Mm-hmm. But and I'm so happy for them that they all found what they needed in that one broker, and I found what I needed in mine. But, you know, maybe like a month ago, they were all out to lunch and they took a picture, and I remember seeing it, and I looked at Andrew and I was like, well, that kind of sucks. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we all used to go out to lunch together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, mm-hmm. it kind of hurt my feelings. And I don't think that none of them intended to hurt my feelings, right? No one posted that to be like, we're going to hurt Chelsea's feelings today. Like, they were out to lunch and they were like, let's take a picture.
Exactly.
But it's very easy to get in your head mm-hmm. about the FOMO and the fear of missing out. Yeah. And especially I'm 34 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine how a 14-year-old feels, mm-hmm. right? You know?
And that's what I always bring it back to. Yeah. It's like, as you said, you're 34, I'm 65. If I'm feeling this way with a comment or, you know, somebody coming over and liking or not liking, give me a thumbs up or down, right. I can only imagine what a 13-year-old is going through. Yeah. And this is where I truly, truly believe we have to take every precaution as mothers, as grandmothers, wives, sisters, to safeguard women's psyches. That's just so important to me, and to let them grow up healthy mm-hmm. and happy and not like so focused on just one aspect of your life, just your physical attributes, which, listen, I'm all for putting your best foot forward. I mean, that's what Sal to a Certain Age is all about, but it's not about perfection. It's about always building yourself up so you can step out the door in confidence, that you have the tools, because there are tools that help us rather than hinder us. And I do think that social media is, and it's not just girls, I mean, but I really am very sensitive to young girls, because we are very hard on ourselves until we're about 21.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes that long for us to, and girls do mature more quickly than boys, but I just remember, just as a young mom, I always wanted to protect, because I also knew that boys' psyches could be damaged very, very easily, and boys don't rebound as well as mm-hmm. girls do. So I was very conscious of that, and I was that mother that's like, no, you can't watch that TV show. No, you have, you know, we had to, I mean, I would try to put limits on them all the time, because I wanted them just to be healthy and happy and go outside and you know, enjoy life, and not just be like, you know, stuck to what we used to call the boob tube. I mean, years ago, it used to be, you know, TV was the detriment to all of us. Right. And now it's social media. Right. But
well, I can't even imagine having, I mean, like you said, dealing with this as a parent too, mm-hmm. because I already know.
My hat's off.
I know that I'm going to be that parent that if my kid comes home mm-hmm. and is like, well, Sally Sue is mean mm-hmm. to me and blah, blah, blah. Like, it will take everything in my mm-hmm. power to not go to that Sally Sue's mom or to not, like, and I know my mom was this exact same way. And sometimes it's like, and my mom was very good. Like, I mean, she would have taken a bullet for me and still would mm-hmm. to this day, but she was very good at like, okay, let me take a step back. Chelsea needs to deal with this herself mm-hmm. because that is mm-hmm. a way that you grow up mm-hmm. and like you realize, how am I going to deal with conflict later on in life?
It is.
But I mean, as a parent, especially with social media, mm-hmm. I mean, I just know that I would go to war for my kid, because I mean, I would go to war for my dog. Like,
right? I know. That's right.
You know,
this is like a precursor. Right now. Watch out, world. Yeah. Chelsea.
I remember when Asher got picked mom. Out of puppy daycare, I was so offended. I'm like, not my child that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Poor I guess that Asher. Kind of brings us into the next kind of question, but should kids be included in their parents' social media business?
This actually, I wanted to actually kind of we can circle back to that. And this is a leading question into that. And that is that, I think the business that we are in, and I think every business, real estate is like this. I think every business nowadays has some, and in our last episode, when your book editor told you that you had to get on social media to sell your book, it's the same thing. We've gotten to this point where we, if we're small business owners or, you know, or work for a small business, part of our job has to be about being on social media in one form or another, which is to me a very sorry and sad thing in a lot of ways. Like I, you know, I think having to rely on this medium that is proving to be so crappy and detrimental to young children and to people's overall, like how they spend their time, how they live their lives and what they get involved in, to have that as your marketing plan as a small business person is a, it's a rough road. I think it's a rough road to go.
I mean, that's just how marketing is now, is. Because that's everyone's just on it.
It is. And you know, so, okay. So it's like TV, it's like radio, it's like any new invention. It's like the industrial revolution, the tech revolution. There's always the good side and there's the bad side. So it's, you know, so it's how do you balance that? Because on one hand, I'm able to reach women all across the globe.
Which is an amazing thing.
And, you know, crazy. But then part of that then is, okay, what responsibility do I have with my message? And I do take these things very, very seriously. So,
well, I think that's exactly it, is what message you're putting out.
What message,
I think,
so it's like not, kind it's not of a bad thing. I mean,
like kind of coming into this next question of should kids be included in the parent social media? There's a woman that I follow on TikTok, and I actually love her. Like, she's very controversial. Controversial, in certain aspects of her TikToks, but she very much shares her life and she shares her kids on there. Now, I don't necessarily know if I agree with the sharing of the kids and if I would do that.
Well, but how old are her children?
They're young.
Okay.
They're very young. Like, I would say that her daughter is maybe 3 and then her son is like 5 or 6. But so I don't necessarily if I myself would do that, but kind of, she just recently got really backlashed because she made a video and she basically in her video, and I followed her for a while, so I know that I don't think that she meant it in a certain way, but a lot of her followers took it a certain way. And she basically said, you know, I love being a boy mom and these are all the reasons. Well, she has a daughter and all of her followers were like, well, you're not just a boy mom, you know, you're also a girl mom. And like, imagine your daughter growing up one day and seeing this video of you basically praising your son so much. And like, at the end of the day, she didn't mean it that way. Like, there's so many things that social media can misconstrue. And I know, like, you can clearly tell that she loves her daughter. Like, it's her daughter. Like, you know. But it's just kind of playing off of, there's so many different things that can be misconstrued by other people and well, her when, bringing when, the kids in.
When someone makes a comment, if you don't get rid of it quickly, it's a pile on.
Oh, it is. One negative comment, yes.
Oh, she's
it just opens up the Pandora's box.
She's had videos.
Like, oh, well, I'm going to,
Where it's like people have like literally screen recorded the video and then they'll talk about it. And then it becomes almost like, are these people just talking about it because they want some traction and they want to get like their social media going because they're starting kind of a war?
Well, that's kind of where we get down the road of, is this a real world? Are we serious people?
I know. Are we serious? Well, I know. Because there's a whole movement of people commenting on other people's social media channels. And I'm like, how is that even, how is that even viable content? You're
but it is
giving a thumbs up or a thumbs down to somebody else's work.
I guess that's similar to kind of what we were talking about, you know, in our last episode of the Rewatchables, and they comment on movies, and this is, but they're basically taking these people's lives on social media. And then I guess to their point, they could say, well, you know, I can do that because these people chose to have their life on social media.
Right. And I get that all the time is that, oh, I need to have a tough skin out there because I chose to be out on social media. And it's like, yes, I'm choosing to be out there to share the message that, you know, that Sokka stands behind, that it's never too late to live your life, to, you know, It's never too late to start over. It's never too late to
grace and beauty,
right? Yeah. Yeah, we want to age with grace, strength, and beauty. So that's at the core. That's my message. Mm-hmm. So, do we really deserve the negative comments just because we're out there? I don't think so. And that's where, you know, going back to having children included in your parents' social media business. Right. So I have a couple of case in points with other social media influencers, and my children were older. I mean, even to this day, I still, like, if we're at a baseball game, I'll ask everybody, hey, can I take a, I mean, I have to check with everybody. It's like, okay, we okay? Can we take this photo?
No,
can I
totally.
Put it on my.
But they're old enough to say yes or no.
That's right. They're old enough to say yes or no.
And if they said no, you would respect that.
Exactly. But I was always concerned because I've been doing this now for 9 years and seeing other younger influencers that had young children. And I was like, oh, I don't think I would want to be bringing them out. I would want to protect them at all costs. And so sure enough, there were a couple of YouTubers out there and they've come back and they said if they had to do things differently, they would not put their children mm-hmm. on social media. And their children were in high school at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they were bullied. They were, there was a lot of backlash. And I can so see that.
Yeah.
Oh, your mom thinks, you know, she just because she's on YouTube or, I mean, I can think of so many different scenarios that the child didn't really need to be faced with just because their mother or their father, this is their business. And it is a business and it's a viable business, but I would be very, very, very careful and thoughtful about putting young children on.
For sure.
And I think that's definitely...
Because they're not fair game. And
there
again, oh, but they're on social media. So according to a lot of people, they are fair game.
Right.
Right.
And I think that's definitely... I mean, I guess at the end of the day, that's a decision mm-hmm. that you have to make with your spouse or significant other. If you're going to make that business decision, mm-hmm. ultimately, it's a business decision whether or not we put the kids on. Because I think... Obviously, I mean, if you have a cute child, mm-hmm. your video is probably going to get more views. Like, let's face it, you know, and I think a lot of people think and know that. Mm-hmm. And that's why mm-hmm. they put their child on social media. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately, a lot of these parents, I don't think that they're trying to destroy their kid's life.
No.
They're trying to make a better life for their kid because, like you said, they're trying to make money to have a better life for their child than probably what they had. But ultimately, is it, you know, when speaking to this one influencer, when her kids get older, like, will they be faced with certain things that other kids aren't?
Right.
Probably.
Right. And it's it's like being that child star. And I mean, that's the only thing that I can really truly compare it to because they have a lot of issues because they're like the cat's meow one day and then there has been, right? And then you turn into a train wreck because you're not prepared for life to change at a certain point.
Well,
when the spotlight isn't on you.
Exactly. I mean, there's that aspect to it, but then there's also this aspect of growing up in a public viewpoint, like whether you're a famous child actor or you've been made famous because your parents put you on their famous YouTube channel or maybe your parents decided that you opening packages was the career that they wanted.
YouTube. I know.
And so now you're famous because you open packages on YouTube.
I know.
I mean, whatever the case is, like growing up, like where your earliest memories are always being on a camera.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Like that has got to be one of the most, like, I think it just fundamentally has to change who you are as a person and how you go about living the rest of your life. Because it's not going to last forever, which is what you're talking about when suddenly the sun has set on you.
That's right.
But also then, like, I mean, I don't even think we talked about getting the data back on, you know, how kids who have grown up with social media and things like that now. But I think when we get to a certain point and we're looking at these children who literally grew up on YouTube or being front facing.
Well, I think we see it like on the Disney Channel. I mean, like, Lindsay Lohan, Amanda Bynes, Miley Cyrus. Every single one of them has
Britney Spears.
Britney Spears,
and not so much the boys because Justin Timberlake was on and Ryan Gosling was on Disney. Who else was a young?
But I mean, Demi Lovato, she's a perfect example of all of them have gone through like almost to where it was like they went through like a huge drug period of their life. And then it was like they kind of had this crazy moment. And then some of them have been able to pull it back together, which is great. But you can see clearly that was detrimental to their life in some way.
Yeah. And that's basically a star, a young star who's actually getting paid for being on the Disney Channel. So
this is a difference.
So we just take it back to social media and these are just regular children,
regular
teenagers, and they're faced with the same, I guess, I don't even know what word to say, but I mean, it's very detrimental. And now that
because
social media has been out there for 15 years, the stats are coming in. And as far as the mental health of our young children, teenagers and young women, it's not good. I mean, it has not had the positive impact that I thought everybody thought it was going to be. And I really do think we need to be rethinking a few things along the way, because I mean, I just heard of this TikTok. Now it's very common for young people to be over on TikTok and then share the medications that they're on. I'm on this antidepressant. I'm on this.
I've actually seen.
It's kind of creepy. I mean, I was like, what?
Well, it's also like
trying to like normalize this?
And they're like, oh, no. Because they used to do this. I feel like when I taught dance and it was like, oh, well, this is, you know, I take this for ADHD or I take this for, and I'm like, is this normal? Like that we're just out here, like I'm on Lexapro and I'm like,
I know it.
I don't know. That's a whole nother topic.
It is. But that's what social media affords us. Like being over there on TikTok, you can come and say anything.
Yeah.
And there are really no restrictions.
Yeah.
There really aren't. So, you know, throwing it back to, should there be age restrictions? I personally think we need to be taking a look at that. And then also to, would you let your children have social media? So Kelly, I mean, we briefly touched on this, but would you let them have it?
I wouldn't even let my kids have a smartphone. Like I mentioned earlier, they would get a flip phone with a limited, I would get them the jitterbug actually, because emergency and call mom and dad. Mm-hmm. That's what you get.
Yeah.
I'm very much a Luddite when it comes to this kind of stuff. And I don't,
I am too.
I would not give them social media or a smartphone.
Mm-hmm. I am too. Chelsea, how about you? Would you let your
children
have social media?
Up into a certain age, which I don't necessarily know at this point in time what that age would be. Mm-hmm. And obviously this would be something that I would talk to Andrew. Me and Andrew would have to have a conversation because I think we'd have to agree on this. But I mean, definitely not when they're younger, for sure, up to a certain age. Of like you were saying, like they would get a phone by a certain point in time. And I mean,
I would give them a flip phone just so I could be in touch with them. They could be in touch with an emergency service, but definitely not have the social media apps. I would be that mom that my children would be hating me because
I wouldn't be the cool mom.
Jimmy has the iPhone 15.
Yeah. That's something that I think I would struggle with because I don't necessarily know if I'd want my kids to be like thought of as different.
I know.
You know, so I would have like,
I don't want that. Yeah. But at the same time, you also want to protect them. And then that's where I just go back to, if we had some sort of restrictions on it, just like a driver's license, just on drinking, so many.
Why can't we just normalize? Right? Can we normalize not being on social media? Right? Can we get to that point where we can?
Really okay. It's really okay not to document your life. It's really okay just to go out there
to
and
live
it.
Because you don't have to take a picture of your coffee every day.
Yeah. I know, right? I know,
you know, like it's fine.
I know, it really is. It's pretty funny. Okay, ladies. Well, so what do you think? We could probably go on and on.
I'm sure this will come up again. We'll revisit this topic.
Definitely. Sure.
Because I really, since thinking about this, and I just really touched the surface, but we could take a very big deep dive. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of statistics out there now, and now we really are starting to. There are some people that are talking about how it's affecting young boys, how it's affecting young girls, and do we want to change the tide? Because if we do, we need to get a hold of it and get a hold of it very, very quickly. Yeah. So, yeah. But okay. So that wraps it up for today. So again, we are busting the myth that mothers-in-law are not necessarily monsters-in-law. And thanks, ladies. It was a great session.